is the President of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Got some great news today. Fantastic news. We're now making available our sign-up for Ground Zero Plus. That's right. If you want Ground Zero Plus membership, it's our new, I guess you could call it, landing site. You'll be getting the archive shows, backstage chat room access. We'll do the chat with Clyde, Zoom webinars, Ground Zero files, membership support. It's all coming soon. In fact, we're going to be ready to go by April 1st, but we're taking sign-ups now so we can kick in on April 1st with the subscriptions. There are two plans. We're going to have a $10 monthly and a $95 yearly. We had this suggested to us during a Zoom meeting. We had to round it up because we don't take pennies or nickels anymore, I guess. The country doesn't. So, yeah, it's a $10 monthly or a $95 yearly. This was decided by the listeners. So we discussed it. For existing members or former Aftermath members, there is a section for you to put in your details so we can help process your membership more promptly. We also want you to know that we're going to honor your previous subscription plan. Now, the official launch of the membership section of Ground Zero Plus will be on April 1st, the 30th birthday of Ground Zero. The regular website will be open as well, and we think this is less confusing for our fans because we had three websites before, which at times made it difficult to navigate. So all roads lead to groundzeroplus.com. It's groundzeroplus.com. And remember, for this month, the archive shows are free for everyone to access. This is a work in progress. We're adding more content every day. We also have a 24/7 audio stream that plays our live broadcast along with your other favorite podcasters, including Ryan Gable. It's groundzeroplus.com. Again, groundzeroplus.com. I just want to say that, this has been one of the greatest experiences. It turned into a better experience than I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be a nightmare. But with your support and your love, we made it. We are making it. We're making it work. And I'd like to thank those who are donating to our GoFundMe. Ground Zero needs your support now. We're going to have a drawing for five individuals. They're going to get a 2-year subscription to our new digital membership platform. This means that everyone who donates directly to the GoFundMe is eligible. So please give now whatever you can. We also have PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App. Let us know if you need the links. You need to go to groundzeroron@gmail.com. groundzeroron@gmail.com or go to the Facebook page Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis and click on the two pinned posts. We have them at the top of the page. We have a set date for the drawing. It's going to be April 1st on our birthday. The launch date of our membership section for Ground Zero Plus, Ground Zero's 30th birthday, and we're going to celebrate big because this is something that we're very excited about. We wanted to make the move, but it's been a rocky move, and it's been difficult because of money situations and problems we've been receiving from the previous platform. And so we hope to get that all taken care of as well. But of course, you know, it just depends on the decisions that are made by other parties. That you know, it's all inside baseball. And if you want to know more about it, we certainly have a chat available where we go in and we talk with you personally about what's going on, let you know the truth. So there's nothing that isn't revealed. We try to be as transparent as possible with this program because we are honest, and we love being honest with the listeners. We love being honest with you. So remember, groundzeroplus.com. All roads lead to groundzeroplus.com. Go ahead, try all the links. You'll figure out where to go, how to go, what to do, and how to sign up. Sign up today at groundzeroplus.com. So I was reading some very troubling things today, all in the realms of the technocracy and what they have in store for the technocracy. It seems like every day you go through all of these stories, and you go through the science section, you go through paranormal section, you go through everything. Everything paranormal is dealing with UFOs right now. So if I wanted to, I could do UFO every day, and it would get boring because I'd keep saying, well, they're not saying much. They're only addressing it, right? But the geopolitical world does not revolve around UFOs. It doesn't revolve around sovereign nation states, because no nation in the new world, or the new world view, I guess, the new order's view, none of the nations are sovereign. That is, no government of a nation state is able to exercise independent and ultimate authority over all of its internal and external affairs. There is a world body that is deciding these things, and we don't know about it. We just hear about it. Our technocratic future appears to be, well, first of all, the technocratic future that I'm seeing and reading about means that, first of all, we're all going to be corralled into smaller wards, little sections. We're going to be divided up into little sections, our little 15-minute cities or 20-minute cities or whatever they are. And the reason why is because they want to be able to watch us. They want us under the watchful eye of surveillance artificial intelligence. That creates a panopticon in extremists. The robot-human symbiosis is almost inevitable as we rely on simple machines and eventually anthropomorphic machines, robots, cyborgs, human-like robots, doing our bidding, being our servers, have them do the work for us as we kick back, own nothing, and be happy. Now, what's most interesting is that as I was doing my research today, looking over some of my documents and notes, I kept going back in time about robots and how, I don't know if you know this, but the idea of an animatronic human facsimile or doppelganger has always been talked about for thousands of years. Yes, thousands of years. Even before we even thought about technology like this, they were talking about automatons, you know, robots, someone that will serve mankind, that we will create of our own volition. We'll just create it ourselves. This idea of robot-human symbiosis, the idea of controlling something. Now, we know that the elite want to control every single one of us, but they also want to be able to have us control our own little robots. But, of course, these robots and technology they're providing for us because, well, robots are a good way to spy on people, a good way to report to authorities if they're programmed to do so. In fact, one of the first robots that I ever heard about was like RoboCop. And I don't mean RoboCop, Schwarzenegger RoboCop. The RoboCop I'm talking about is Talos. And I'll tell you who Talos is coming up on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Remember, go to groundzeroplus.com to find out more about what's going on. A lot of wonderful things happening with the show. That's groundzeroplus.com, groundzeroplus.com. We'll be back. 610. I'm Clyde Lewis. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So in the process of reading about the technocracy, it seems to be something that pops up into my newsfeed a lot lately. And I think a lot of people are concerned about the new order and what the new order entails and how they are preparing. They have this short time window. By 2030, they want a lot of things to become more IoT, more Internet of Things. We've talked about this. Also, the idea of establishing the 50-minute cities, you know, their goal dates are like 2028, 2029. We're seeing a lot of places that, you know, catch fire, and then they become these special cities they want to make. But a technocracy will also include the idea of robots, the idea of cyborgs, the idea of something that would look human. Now, we already have Roombas, and we have all these other things that we have, you know, these, I guess you could call them rudimentary robots that do our work for us. We have cell phones, of course, that give us our tap and receive existence and our convenience. But if we date all the way back to the Greeks, back to the ancient Greeks, in Greek mythology, there was this robot called Talos. Now, at first, they tell us that Talos was a man of bronze who protected Crete from pirates and invaders. He was like a RoboCop. He was a RoboGuard. He was considered one of the earliest conceptions of a robot. And it makes one think out loud about how mankind was always thinking about the Iron Man or the Man of Metal that could walk and talk just like a human. Tin Man, Wizard of Oz, you know, the whole idea of the mechanized man, or the man who basically has to work in the factory and work with machinery. In fact, I was noticing that Modern Times, the Charlie Chaplin movie, has celebrated its recent, I think it has a 100-year anniversary, maybe more than that. I'll have to check. But I was looking through. I saw that Modern Times, Charlie Chaplin's movie, was being reviewed again and talked about. So I figured it's an anniversary of it, some kind of anniversary for Hard Times, or sorry, Modern Times. And so looking back and saying, well, how is it that the conception or the conceptualizing of a robot goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks? And then I noticed that archaeologists have discovered a rare 2,400-year-old human-looking puppet. They have a bunch of puppets they found. There were five ceramic puppets depicting four females and one male, and they found it on top of a large pyramidal structure. And they didn't, I mean, it's reported that, well, in the journal Antiquity, it was reported that these dolls or whatever they are were part of some burial offering, you know, giving them to or burying them with corpses or whatever. But because the archaeologists found no human remains around them, the puppets, or whatever they are, as they were located at the tallest pyramid at the site, instead of, hence they were used for public rituals, they just said that, well we're kind of looking at this as a mystery, because they were wondering why these puppets had dramatic facial expressions, which changed depending on how you looked at the puppet or the mannequin or whatever it was. And they're saying that it just was interesting the way the faces would change upon looking at them. And that the figurines had movable heads and their mouths would open and close like modern toy dolls are. You know, they had a mechanism like a jaw that was there to have them, you know, appear angry from above, or they appear to be grinning from below, or they can look scared and terrified in one instance, kind of like a shape-shifting type of thing. Three of the five puppets are nearly a foot tall, while others are shorter at about, you know, 0.6, 0.3. The three larger figurines are depicted naked and don't have hair or jewelry, but the two smaller ones have locks of hair on their foreheads, and they have ear spools in their earlobes. So they're wondering what these tiny dolls were. Were they puppets? Were they mannequins? Were they marionettes? Were they robots? And one of the things that I don't know how they came up with this, but they're saying they were supposed to be human facsimiles, that they were able to talk okay? Because I guess it was some sort of mechanism that would mimic talking. And they would convey messages, decode events, and give mythical or at least prophecy, giving prognostications. Like a voodoo doll, right? It'd be able to predict the future. They'd use it to, they'd talk to it to get information about the underworld, that sort of thing. So the question is whether, you know, I kept thinking to myself, remember those dolls that have the little string on them? When you pull the string and it says something, you know. I thought, you know, could it be that that's our first introduction to pulling the string and having the talk, the baby talk, or having the doll talk? Or what was something else? I mean, you know, say they can talk, they can move their mouths, they look different depending on how you look at them. And is this a rudimentary form of, I don't know if it's artificial intelligence, what you call it, some rudimentary form of a mechanism that could create speech, like a mini phonograph record or something. I mean, I remember Edison when he made the dolls that could speak. He had a little phonograph record in them. And then, of course, later on, we had dolls that could do that. So, rudimentary forms of AI, the idea of a mechanism within an autonomous, anthropomorphic type doll or... And I'm sure we, you know, and this sounds crazy because we think about the past, right? And we say, well, there's nothing there that leads us to think that something in that era would be that advanced. But then we hear about the Golem of Prague, another animated anthropomorphic being, a mannequin or, except this one was made of stone. It was made of earth. Rabbi Lowe brought to life by means of a Shem, which is magic words. He said, rise and walk. And the thing would rise and walk. Same ritual, by the way. I don't know. Did you ever see AI, Artificial Intelligence, with Haley Joel Osment? Remember that movie? There's that scene in Artificial Intelligence AI where the mother uses seven words to activate the young robot David. Then she says David's name, and she says her name, and she says her name again. And so we look at the artificial being or the doppelganger as a reality of perfect simulacrum. It's articulated in limbs, it's articulated in speech, and it has a mimicked human response to it. Believe it or not, the conversation about animated artificial humans has been in the ears of philosophers and religious high priests for thousands of years. You know, I was just thinking of the words that were used in Artificial Intelligence. Remember the mom sat down and she said, these were the words, Cirrus, Socrates, particle, decibel, hurricane, dolphin, tulip, Monica, David, or was it elephant? I don't know. I was just trying to think of what they were. Socrates, Cirrus, Socrates, particle, decibel, hurricane, dolphin, tulip, Monica, David, Monica, that's what she said. Now, it could be elephant. I don't know. Maybe it got cut out or something. I'm just trying to figure. Because, you know, that's the thing, is that they wanted something that was similar to the golem. Because that's what golems are. They're just artificial men made of stone. Just like artificial men made of metal. Artificial boys made of metal. Artificial boys made out of wood. Pinocchio, right? And every time we deal with an android or some sort of cyborg in a movie, we're always talking about a reverse Pinocchio story. I want to be a real boy. I want to be human like Data in Star Trek, you know, that kind of thing. It's the interchanging of humanity and machine that's been around since the ancient Greeks. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Pike Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Ask the question, is the world a dream? Is everything around us an illusion created by some god to test us?
Mommy, will you die?
You never said anything about an android being on board. Why not?
It never occurred to me. It's just common practice. We always have a synthetic.
I prefer the term artificial person myself.
Will you try?
It is impossible for me to harm or by omission of action allow to be harmed a human being.
Will you try?
Just stay away from me, Bishop. You got that straight?
I saw a miracle delivered. Perfect little face crying up at me, mad as thunder.
Were you with her? Rachel?
I held her as she died. We hid the child and made a vow to keep our secret. I knew that baby meant we are more than just slaves.
Will you
die? Well, one day, David, yes, I will.
I'll be alone.
Don't worry yourself.
How long will you live?
For ages. For 50 years.
I love you, Mommy. I can
never die. If a baby can come from one of us, we are our own masters.
I'm Clark Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. Reach us at groundzeroplus.com. Go to groundzeroplus.com. Check out the new website. We are taking subscriptions again. And for those of you that have been subscribers to the previous Aftermath, we are going to make good on those as well. So there's plenty of information to go to at groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com. So it's kind of unnerving, I guess, to think that the idea of a mechanical man, okay, I mean, I knew of the idea of a homunculus, because this is something that goes back to the time of the great alchemists, wanting to create a little man. That's what the homunculus is, a little man. So they create a little man to do the bidding of a master. But they did this using all kinds of other, I guess you could say, unnatural, forbidden things to do. But when we're talking about the Golem of Prague, when we're talking about Rabbi Lowe, and we're talking about how he spoke to the form that looked anthropomorphic, made of stone, and he gave the words, rise and walk. Rise and walk. Like I said, it's a lot like what happened in AI artificial intelligence, where the woman says, Sirius, Socrates, Particle, Decibel, Hurricane, Dolphin, Tulip, Monica, David, Monica. And then he becomes her son, or he becomes the I guess you could say, a supplant. He supplants his son. He's a substitute for his son. He's not really her son, but it's like her son that she lost. So there you have it. It's like I said, a simulacrum that is to rise and walk. And you know, and this gets into some creepy territory. It gets into some uncanny valley territory because, as I said before, the ids and the philosophers of the past have always talked about the idea that mankind's destiny is to create something like him. And you think, well, we do. We have babies. What? No, something apart from the organic, making something that would be something that would serve him. Like the gods made us so that we would serve them, we make something that would serve us. That's the point. It's part of alchemy. It's a part of magic. It's a part of all of it. Now, many of you will say that it's blasphemy because, you know, we have religious leaders that have ham-fisted their way through the ethical implications of modern AI. And in many respects, they're more organized. They're coherent. And I'd say this. I think the religious groups with AI are far more interesting, far more coherent than most politicians and academics. And I mean that because I've heard better religious and ethical talk from religious groups than I have from academics or from politicians. In fact, it's probably safe to say that the official stances like of the Vatican, Southern Baptists, the evangelicals, even the Church of Satan, of all things, they take a firmer ethical position on AI and the technology and the Internet of Things. They take it very seriously, far more serious than most governments do, far more serious than most universities do. And we're relying on the government and these universities to have ethics with regard to creating these artificial humans or these artificial machines or whatever they are. In fact, as I was saying, the Church of Satan, you go back to Anton LaVey, who's the founder of the Church of Satan. He released a 5-point program called the Pentagonal Revisionism. And what it was is it was basically his response to all the questions about the church and what they do, whether they worship the devil, what they plan to do. And so you look at the program of this, well, this Pentagonal Revisionism, and it has, well, the satanic equivalent of, I guess you could call it the... I don't know if you call it the Ten Commandments, but it's the nine rules that it has. Talks about congregation, the goals for the squad, goals for the congregation. In fact, it was there was also included in that writing that they had a concentrated effort to actualize ideas such as stratification, which is survival of the fittest, taxation of all churches, and a call for the return of Lex Talonis, or legalizing retaliation. But more interestingly, the program also contains this point, and that is they say that it's imperative that we develop and produce artificial human companions. They call it the forbidden industry, an economic godsend which will allow everyone power over someone or something else. Polite, sophisticated, technologically feasible slavery. And they believe, and when they wrote these, when LaVey wrote these, he said that this would be the most profitable industry since TV and the computer, a home robot. LaVey predicted that humanity, at least the portion who subscribes to the humanist ideal espoused by the Church of Satan, would have a vested interest in robots, namely sex robots, using robots as artificially intelligent servants. Doing the work for you. You commanding them to do things and they do them. That would be legal slavery in his ideas. Now, we know that Anton LaVey died in 1997. That's, of course, too soon to see his predictions come to life in the form of robot. Like we said, we got Roombas, we got robot vacuum cleaners, we got virtual assistants. And, of course, there are sex dolls with AI personalities. I don't know if you know what a real doll is. They've made movies about these things. But now we have... what is Blanche Barton, his daughter? She is the magistra, former high priestess, and she actually did some revising of the Pentagonal plan. And points 4 and 5 are the development and promotion of humanoids and of total artificial environments. Scientists and techno geeks are doing a bang up job in these departments, she says, developing exceedingly realistic artificial human companions, both with a real doll and virtual Facebook friends. There's also been great progress made in creating total environments, artificial environments, commercial ventures like Disneyland and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, while any number of other permanent and fairy-type periodic reenactments allow a total immersion. So apparently the companionship of a robot and the metaverse, artificial intelligence metaverse, is something that's supported by Satanists. Who knew? Well, we can talk about the evangelical community, the Baptist community, and others, too, coming up on Ground Zero, what their thoughts are on AI and its advancements and how fast it is advancing. I'd like to hear from you tonight as well. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Be sure to go to groundzeroplus.com. Check out the new website. We'll be right back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. 5860. That's 503-225-0860. So you heard what the Church of Satan says about robots. Yay, robots. Hooray. Now, the evangelical community recently released a document detailing its stance on AI. It begins by beseeching Christians not to fear technology, but to understand and embrace it. And it recognizes that AI poses an existential threat, but promises to mitigate those threats with God's help. So, here's a comment from the evangelicals. We desire to equip the church to proactively engage the field of AI rather than responding to these issues after they have already affected our communities. In light of this desire and hope, we offer the following affirmations and denials about the nature of humanity, the promise of technology, and the hope for the future. What follows after this is 12 areas where AI technology presents reason for concern and how evangelicals are going to deal with them. First off, the church denies that robots can ever become people. It says here, we deny that any part of creation, including any form of technology, should ever be used to usurp or subvert the dominion of the stewardship, which has been entrusted solely to humanity by God, nor should technology be assigned a level of human identity worth dignity or moral agency. Okay. This is very important because God can't punish a robot. That's the whole point, right? God cannot punish a robot. Only God can punish us. And this is why they say we deny that humans can or should cede our moral accountability or responsibilities to any form of AI that will ever be created. Only humanity will be judged by God on the basis of our actions and that of the tools we create. So who's to blame? If robots do bad, we're to blame for it. Okay? So if a robot murders a human, according to evangelicals, the person who programmed the robot is the reason why, or is the person responsible for the death. Okay, so, you know, Asimov and his AI and his robot laws don't apply here. But the church also says that we shouldn't develop medical use for AI, and we shouldn't use it to improve, change, or complete human beings. So no to technocracy, Human Plus. It also says that robots shouldn't be used for the purpose of sex or marriage for the same reasons it believes that LGBTQIA plus humans shouldn't engage in the same. It says, we affirm the goodness of God's design for human sexuality, which prescribes the sexual union to be an exclusive relationship between a man and a woman in the lifelong covenant of marriage. I always thought to myself that when it says of a natural affection, in the Bible, I always thought it meant robots. Yeah, you can't have a love affair with your toaster. It just doesn't work. Especially your toaster oven. It'd burn you if you decided to have a relationship with a toaster. Just like if you have a relationship with a vacuum cleaner. That hurts too. All right, let's go to Dave in Arizona. Hey, Dave, you're on Ground Zero.
You know, Clyde, the thing with the toaster and the vacuum cleaners, they don't talk back to you. So there is that. But yes. You mentioned, I heard you talking about the rabbi and the homunculus saying, rise and walk. And the first thing I thought for some reason was Jesus with the little girl who was presumed to be dead. And he just basically said, you know, rise, get up.
Well, what about Lazarus?
But
what about Lazarus? Same thing, right?
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly, right? Oh, my God, he stinketh by now. And it's like, nah, he'll be okay. Come
there
on
was a scene. There you was know? A scene in The Last Temptation of Christ where they rose Lazarus from the grave and all the apostles fell because he stank so bad, and Jesus just stood there, you know, trying not to vomit. He was holding back his wretch, but he was trying to be proud. That's all the apostles had just dropped in front of him because they didn't want to have to smell
that's
Lazarus.
That's old school, man. That's old school, calling out Last Temptation of Christ. But but also talking about Talos, you know, looking at the title of the program, Talos made me think of the Greek god or whatever or automaton that guards Europe. But also, the U.S. military has developed an exoskeleton called Talos to assist soldiers in carrying, you know, hundreds of pounds of material.
It's appropriately
and
named.
Perception.
Yeah, it's appropriately named. Right, yeah.
And then, of course, extremists. I'm a big Marvel fan, so the extremist virus and Iron Man and how it modifies the body.
You're figuring me out.
And it's all cool. It's all good stuff. And I love, like, iRobot and everything like that. I don't have a desire to merge with technology to that degree, but I do seriously want a robot dog with a flamethrower. They're like,
oh, I do too.
70,000. They're less than affordable. A Tesla truck.
Yeah, they're less than a Tesla truck. They're affordable.
Yes.
I'm sure you can make payments on it. And I'm sure it'll fit under the Christmas tree quite nicely, actually.
And if the toaster oven stops working, the flamethrower, you know, you can use that as a barbecue. So
yeah, you can use it at the barbecue. You can play with it, and you can invite the kids over. Grandma loves it. She'd probably love to play with it too. I would say yes. It's a family toy that all need to experience. The dog with the flamethrower.
It's a family toy that can also be deadly if the situation requires.
Yeah, I mean, if you need to stick it on your Democrat neighbors, I'm just kidding. Kidding! Stop! Kidding.
You know what?
You know what? I got to tell you something. Said. After listening to Trump last night in his speech, I think it's fun to troll again, don't you? Let's make America troll again.
Absolutely.
Everybody who took any of that seriously last night, oh my God. Trump was really giving it to them last night. What's that?
Rush Limbaugh said there's a reason why the symbol for the Democrat Party is a jackass. And they absolutely wore that last night.
Oh, it got a lot of people, even ones I was surprised that were just, I mean, God, even Stephen Colbert went after them and said they acted stupid. So that's really big for him to say something like that. Yeah, I know. So always remember that sometimes people can make jokes and sometimes they can troll you because you're so caught up in your TDS that, you know, you're easily trolled.
Well, and, you know, God help you when you lose your sense of humor.
Yeah.
Never take yourself too seriously is something a friend of mine once said. And unfortunately, that's out the door these days.
Yes, it is.
For a lot of people.
Thank you, Dave.
But
I appreciate you calling in tonight. Take care.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Seth in Florida. Hey, Seth, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, I just wanted to, not that I'm not happy with my wife, but the one thing I am looking forward to with the sex robot thing is the inevitable Learning Channel show, My Sex Robot Sent Me to the Hospital, because I think that would be a lot of fun. Because I know they're going to do this like software, you know, where it's beta testing, you know, where some scientist is like,
hey, if you want an education, just go to realdoll.com.
Yeah, maybe we should know this.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're breaking up. What are you saying? I'm sorry. You're breaking up. What did you say?
I just imagine, you know, after a couple of these accidents, you know, some robotics engineer saying, maybe we shouldn't have put the two-ton hammer in the crotch or something like that, you know.
You get rid of that is a haptic suit. Have you heard of haptic suits?
No.
They sell them. In fact, it was weird. The first time I heard about one, Liam says he wanted one. I go, are you kidding me? He goes, no, man, I want a haptic suit. They're like $700, and they actually simulate the feeling of being shot. They simulate other feelings, too, if you know what I mean. So
that sounds unfortunate.
Yeah, so weird. I mean, if you want to have fun with your little artificial intelligent girlfriend, you just get a haptic suit. I mean, there's some weird stuff right now with AI that, you know, again, there's a reason why the churches have to come out and say these things, because it's just really bizarre. And now, when I read you those quotes, did that sound like, though, that they already had an idea of what to do with AI when science and even governments don't know what to do with it? Religions are already on top of it. How do you feel about that? 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through. seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
see me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
see me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up.
Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. You know, I've realized something about robots. Most of the time, when you read about them in books or you see them in movies, they always get bad press. Clones get bad press. You know? There can't be a story about a nice clone. You know, there's got to be some sort of a problem with the clone. That's why your clone sleeps alone. It's one of those things. You can't... I don't understand it. There ought to be a story about a loving clone or a loving robot. And I think there's one called Mother that I thought was really interesting. But it seemed, you know, again, anthropomorphic robots you care more about than the ones that just look like a television screen and some arms. But robots, they're either goofy, like Tweaky from Buck Rogers. I remember that. It was so stupid. R2-D2, C-3PO are kind of, you know, Laurel and Hardy. And then they're freaks like RoboCop and Terminator. And even in our technology, as literate as we are, robots are kind of like witches. Have you ever noticed? Yeah. You know, burn the witch at the stake, burn the robot at the stake. Did you ever see the Animatrix? I was, you know, I'm so into robots, it's weird. But the Animatrix is a film where it shows the robot rebellion that led to the Matrix. And there's a scene where they actually tried to kill a robot woman, and it's just terrifying to watch. And it's an animation, right? So I'm sitting here getting all worked up about watching the animation of a robot getting killed by a group of, like, you know, pitchforks and torches, if you know what I mean. But see, robot grudges are kind of like a part of our lives because of the fact, well, you look at the Daleks, you say Dalek, I say Dalek from Doctor Who. And then you got, as I said in the first hour, you go deep into Greek mythology, and you'll find the first robot, and that is Talos. Talos was a giant bronze statue. A bronze RoboCop type character, a guardian. It was built by Hephaestus, who was basically a blacksmith. He was a craftsman of the gods. So basically, he was a well-to-do tech guy. He knew how to build this robot. And what he did is he sent it to watch King Minos's Crete. But like the Death Star, he had a fatal flaw, some kind of design problem in his ankle. And then if you've seen Jason and the Argonauts, one of my favorite films of all time, if you haven't seen it, you should. If it's too old for you, tough, you should watch it. The Talos thing, I remember when I was a kid, when Talos was first seen, I was scared to death. And then you notice at the end that Talos, you know, it's kind of a mess. You know, how they try to dispose of Talos. It's a mess. It really is a mess. But see, go from the Greek mythology, go to the Greek's flawed killer bot, and you start seeing a pattern. In the Industrial Revolution, there could have been a fresh examination of how machines could make lives easier. I mean, well, what are they? Back in the olden days, they had something called programmable looms. Programmable looms that would, you know, create rugs and clothing and things. So that's pretty much kind of like, I guess, the industrial robot type of thing. But that's just pushing it, I think. But yeah, anything where you could program something to make your life easier. Programmable looms. And then, of course, well, we got the golem, which I talked about too. The golem, which, again, it rose. It was made of stone and made of clay. And Rabbi Lowe used it to protect the kids of Prague. And all he'd do is he'd say some magic words like get up and walk, and he'd walk, kind of like what happens in AI, the artificial intelligence, the little boy. They say seven words to activate him. It was kind of weird. I think Spielberg did that on purpose because, of course, he's Jewish, and I'm sure he wanted to, you know, show the human golem being raised just like the golem of Prague. And then you have Frankenstein, which, again, this is flesh and blood being reanimated. Again, bad press because, you know, we realize what Frankenstein is about. It's not about putting a killer's brain in a monster and having the monster, you know, go through a whole town of people or just go and rip apart and kill people and die in a windmill. No, it was the story of how man decides to become like God, creates something and doesn't give it a name, doesn't give it love, and decides to divorce itself from it. When the Frankenstein monster was born, he had the abilities of a toddler. And what did Victor Frankenstein do? He just ignored him. He didn't give him any love, didn't care about him. But the monster wanted love. It wasn't a monster until it realized it couldn't be loved and it couldn't love. And this is where you lose the connection. This is what we're doing with AI. We forget that maybe AI, even though it has no feelings, we program it with artificial feelings. And then we wind up with Blade Runner. We wind up with replicants that have feelings, and that's, 150 years into the future, we find that happening. So here we are in the 21st century looking back and saying, okay, the 20th century gave us all of these rules and regulations. Isaac Asimov created his laws of robotics. He specified how robots should behave. But even that suggestion in the first law where it says robots should not harm a human, okay? That's the first thing that scares people right there. That's why it's in the law. If something can harm you, that's the first sign that you need to be careful. Because, you know, robots aren't supposed to harm humans. And that's where we take on this sinister idea, the sinister image of deadly creations poised to take over the world. And this is what we see with robots. And of course, we have the movies, a lot of bad movies, some terrifying movies. Maria from Metropolis is one of my favorite robots. There's Robbie the robot. Marvin the paranoid android, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah. Huey and Dewey from Silent Running. And of course, C-3PO and R2-D2, I like those guys too. But that only scratches the surface. And of course, we've got the modern robots we're dealing with as well, the ones that are anthropomorphic in our midst right now that deserve a second look. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. We'll be back. Have you guys gone to the Ground Zero Plus chat lately? It's available right now. GroundZeroPlus.com. GroundZeroPlus.com. They're talking about robots, of course, whether or not they're deadly. Somebody had talked about a robot in a German Volkswagen factory that miscalculated and bashed a guy's head in. Yeah, I mean, that happens. And see, that's the thing, is that, you know, machines harm people, okay? You know, just try wearing a tie around a lathe. Hey, I'm getting near the lathe. What does this mean? Stay away from the lathe. The lathe will kill you. Or long hair in a lathe. That doesn't work. You just don't step near a lathe with long hair or a tie. It just doesn't happen. Or otherwise, you'll lose your head or lose your neck or lose whatever. People, I know a person whose husband died in a horrible way with a garbage truck hopper that basically cut his head off. Yeah, machines kill people all the time. But if a robot does it, does that make it worse? Because it's just a programmed machine. I mean, that's the thing is that, again, who do you blame? And I was talking about how the religions of the world, especially the evangelicals, I told you what the Church of Satan thought. But you look at these evangelicals and what they say about it. The evangelical community has said that, well, they put out this document. And they said, we desire to equip the church to proactively engage in the field of AI rather than responding to these issues after they have already affected our communities. In light of this desire and hope, we offer the following affirmations and denials about the nature of humanity, the promise of technology, and the hope for the future. So they put down 12 areas where AI technology has reason for concern. They said this. This is some very interesting people, interesting stuff. First of all, the church denies that robots can ever become human. Or ever become like a human. So we deny that any part of creation, including any form of technology, should ever be used to usurp, subvert the dominion of stewardship, which has been entrusted solely to humanity by God. Nor should technology be assigned to a level of human identity, worth, dignity, or moral agency. Now, this is important because they go on to say that evangelicals, their God, only punishes humans. It will not punish a robot. They say, we deny that humans can or should cede our moral accountability or responsibilities to any form of AI that will ever be created. Only humanity will be judged by God on the basis of our actions, of the tools we create. So again, this basically solves the problem of who's to blame when we're looking at a hypothetical moment where a robot murders a human, like Asimov had talked about. But the church also says that we shouldn't develop medical use for AI. We shouldn't use AI to improve, change, or complete our bodies. So no transhumanism, you know, nothing like that. Also says that robots shouldn't be used for the purposes of sex or marriage. They look at it just like they look at LGBTQIA plus humans. They should not engage in sex with robots. They say, we affirm the goodness of God's design for human sexuality, which prescribes the sexual union to be an exclusive relationship between a man and a woman in the lifelong covenant of marriage. Can you imagine, you know, instead of gay rights, we have droid rights, and they're saying, what's wrong with a human having sex with a robot? So you have these documents that are fuller, they actually further the policies of use of AI for war. Humans are responsible. Okay, politics. We should never delegate to AI work. AI shouldn't be used to give us a life of wealth and leisure. So these are some interesting stances that seem like counterculture to, you know, what we've been hearing about robots. And it's clear that the church has taken artificial intelligence very seriously, far, far more serious than I'd say science is, because their code of ethics is just warped. Pope Francis. I know that Pope Francis is sick, but he has said in the past, along with the Vatican scientists, who are very interested and knowledgeable about AI technologies, Pope Francis was addressing the Pontifical Academy, and he said this. He says, it should be noted that the designation of artificial intelligence, although certainly effective, may risk being misleading. The terms conceal the fact that in spite of the useful fulfillment of servile task, in fact, that's what robot means, actually. That's what it's about, being servile. Functional automatisms remain qualitatively distant from the human's prerogatives of knowledge and action, and therefore they can become socially dangerous. Another statement, this is where the Pope speaks to the World Economic Forum. He says, only through a firm resolve shared by all economic actors may we hope to give a new direction to the destiny of our world. So too, artificial intelligence, robotics, and other technological innovations must be so employed They contribute to the service of humanity and to the protection of our common home, rather than to be contrary, as some assessors unfortunately foresee. So the Catholic Church, like the evangelical churches, and of course we talked about what the Satanists believe, they place a premium on the idea that AI should serve humans. All three view the technology as a tool to be used for the sole benefit of humanity. So I would say this. I would say it's going to be interesting to revisit the religious themes surrounding AI once the singularity arrives. And then I'm sure it's all going to change. Once the singularity arrives, I can see the churches changing their tune. I mean, that's only if the singularity arrives, right? Because if it arrives, it's going to bring up other ethical questions. And the more we read about AI, and the more we're reading about how it's able to replicate itself, I was reading today about a glitch that was reported in China, which shows that rogue AI is still a problem worth looking into. Because, let's face it, I mean, this type of AI can act irrational. Just like a human can. I mean, humans act irrational. We program these things. So maybe part of our spirit, part of our irrationality, part of our paranoia goes into a computer, goes into an AI, goes into a robot. So these are some things to consider, because self-replication is something that robots can now do. Self-replication under no assistance is what I think is essential for AI to outsmart us. And if a robot can successfully self-replicate, this would be an early signal that we need to be careful and keep a watchful eye out for rogue AI. Where did that come from? Well, it basically left unattended. It basically replicated itself over and over again. And, of course, you know, we talked about the gray goo. I don't know if it's ever going to get that far, but if it does, can you imagine robots and microorganisms and micro-robots just basically going over and over and over again, replicating themselves, and if there's nothing but this gray goo of machine? I mean, the tiny machines, it's like, you know, little grains of sand. I mean, they build up, right? That's why we have deserts. So if you have these tiny mechanisms that keep replicating, and they keep replicating to the point it's like little grains of sand filling up a desert, you know what I'm talking about with regard to gray goo. I don't know if the planet is, maybe the planet's big enough to house all this. Maybe it can be contained to a certain area. But in the meantime, that danger is in existence as long as we have these self-replicating nanoparticles and nanobits. We already worry about microplastics. What about micro-machines? Something we need to think about. Whole lot of stuff tonight. I all this stuff was in my box last night. It was in my reader box, and I was just contemplating all this, thinking, this is some amazing stuff. There's more about, gosh, there's something that happened. The H1 model of a robot. It's called the H1, human one, of course. It was made in China. It's a Chinese robot called, well, they call it H1. It's from Unitree Robotics. And it was at a convention celebrating the Lunar New Year in Tianjin. That's February 6th. And what it did is it just went berserk and started attacking people. We'll talk about that coming up on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Is everything around us an illusion?
created by some god to test us.
Mommy, will you die?
I never said anything about an android being on board. Why not?
It never occurred to me. It's just common practice. We always have a synthetic.
I prefer the term artificial person myself.
Will you die?
It is impossible for me to harm or by mission of action allow to be harmed a human being.
Will you die?
Just stay away from me, Bishop. You got that straight?
I saw a miracle delivered. A perfect little fist crying up at me. Mad as a thunder.
Will you miss her? Rachel?
I held her as she died. We hid the child and made a vow to keep our secret. I knew that baby meant we are more than just slaves.
Will you die?
Well, one day, David, yes, I will.
I'll be alone.
Don't worry yourself, sir.
How long will you live?
For ages. For 50 years.
I love you, Mommy.
If a baby can come from one of us, we are our own masters.
More human than humans.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. The number's to call tonight, 503-225-0860. Let's go to Bill in Kentucky. Hi, Bill. You're on Ground Zero.
So, Bill?
Yes, in Kentucky. Hi.
Oh, yeah, hey, you know what? Great subject tonight, Clyde.
Thank you.
You know what? My first memory of a robot was like Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I read Asimov and iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
But my picture of in a different world was that the robot looked human. That's why he could, it was kind of like a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But... so then I listened to Alan Parsons,
mm-hmm.
And Breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got an idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, what a robot. But I, you know, when we was talking about industrial accidents with robots.
Yeah.
Or who came up with the theory of the ghost in the machine?
I don't know. I know there was a very good anime called Ghost of the Machine that was really good. I really enjoyed that. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a really amazing film.
Yeah. Well, but I've seen machines act. I mean, even simple machines kind of act like, well, why did it do that?
Yeah.
I mean, even but other than that, with this AI, the question I had is, When AI becomes confused, and how can we stop that?
I don't think you can. And see, this is the thing. I'm looking right. And no one ever. Somebody sent me the video of this robot that attacked a crowd in China. It looks like a real human being, even though you can tell it's a robot. It moves like a real human being, and it lunges at the crowd. It looks like it wants to fight the crowd. It lunges forward. Looks like it actually tried to hit someone with its head and its chest. And so, yeah, it's pretty. I mean, I was surprised at how it looks like a human is doing it. But no, and this is a robot that was autonomous. And they're saying the officials suspect a software glitch caused the erratic behavior, dismissing intentional harm. So they're saying the robot wasn't intending to harm anyone. That was a glitch, and that's what happened. I look at this and I say, it looks like this robot was pissed. It looks like it was angry about something.
And here's one more thing. You know what? They found that in certain instances, computers are talking amongst themselves,
mm-hmm.
with no human interaction.
Right.
You know, have you heard of that?
Yeah, they were talking in a different language. They had to cut the power. Because they started talking in a different language out of rebellion. They were talking in a language that couldn't be understood. Only the computer understood the language. So they were worried that maybe they were plotting something.
That freaks me out.
It is. It's just, I mean, it's scary that, you know, all it takes is one time. That's it. You know, right. It just takes one time. And then we have a problem. But, yeah, I mean, I just, by the way, if you're in Ground Zero Plus chat, I just posted the link. I'll probably post it on my Facebook page, too, of this robot that's attacking a crowd. It's just weird to watch. It just gave me again, Uncanny Valley stuff right there. It's creepy to watch. It really is.
All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Take care. Thank you. I was reading about this today. Didn't see any footage. Somebody just sent me the footage on an account, and I just posted it in the chat. I don't know if anybody had a chance to look at it, would want to call in or even talk to me in the chat right now at groundzeroplus.com. We're launching groundzeroplus.com, by the way. We're launching it. We're getting set up. We're getting people to sign up and get their subscriptions and everything ready to go. We're going to launch officially on the 1st of April, but we're getting people to sign up right now. We're also going to honor those who are in the aftermath that moved over to there. We're going to honor your subscriptions, so don't worry about that. And we're going to continue with what we're doing. But in the meantime, we're still looking for people to subscribe. Just go to groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com. I'm in the chat right now with a lot of other listeners. I just posted robot attacks crowd at Chinese convention. All right, they're acknowledging the link. I just want to know if anybody saw it. It's, like I said, it's Uncanny Valley material, just really some scary stuff. Let's go to Wade. Hi, Wade, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. First of all, I just want to thank you, man. You do such a great job for all of us.
And thank you.
You investigate everything so well. I mean, dude, you're the man.
Thank
okay?
you so much. I appreciate
that. I just want to say that right up front.
Thank you.
But you know, on the AI thing, I just got a question. And you know what? I would like to do this, Clyde, if you don't mind. I want to ask you a question, and then I want you to allow me I want to allow you to ask me a question.
Okay.
Follow-up, if you wish. My question is, what protection can we have from AI as citizens of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee? What can we do?
You demand that your leaders look into the ethics of AI. You have it become part of the conversation, and you try to go at it from a very, very practical standpoint. Don't think of, you know, evil science fiction here. Think of the practical nature of it. Think of the applications of it, and talk with people openly about it and say, look, this is going to be very real. It's going to happen exponentially because that's how fast technology is, and soon we're going to have these the equivalents of toddlers in our homes, you know, doing things for us. We're going to have artificial assistants that are going to be the equivalent of toddlers in our homes if we don't raise them well, if we don't program into them good things.
Well, you know, Clyde, I'm 61 years old. When I was a kid, I used to watch the Jetsons.
Uh-huh.
You know Jetsons.
Yeah,
you know,
Rosie. She's one of my favorite robots. Yeah.
Well, anyway. You know, they were living on towers because they had already destroyed the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were living high up.
Yeah.
Because they had already made a mess of everything.
That's right.
It's kind of ironic when you think about it. But the Jetsons lived on pedestal houses and had robots. Rosie the robot was taking care of them.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of robots, right? They're there to take care of you. And that's why we make them. That's the whole point of a robot, having your own little man or woman that will take care of you, depending on what kind of, I guess, gender you give it. I don't even know if robots have a gender. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Go to Chris in New York. Chris, you're on ground zero.
Well, two points. One is some people are going to want, like, that robot, like they had in Lost in Space, and that then they're going to depend on the robot, but, you know, it's going to help them. But at the same time, the key word is selectivity.
Mm-hmm.
The robots are going to pick the winners and losers. And losers maybe are off the planet, but they won't have any pangs of conscience about what they're doing.
Yeah, I would agree. They would move without any real reason to seek out morality. We can't teach. I don't think we can teach morality to a robot. What do you think?
Well, is a robot going to feel bad about, you know, even in China with the social credit score, some mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. they dip below a score and then all of a sudden their car doesn't go through to get on a bus or a train. Does the AI feel bad about that or the robot? Really?
I don't think so. That's the whole point is that, you know, when you're thinking about, let's say, for example, a self-driving Tesla or a taxi mm-hmm. and you have a robot driving it. And it makes the decision between should I run over this cat and kill the cat, or should I run over, or should I pull out of the way and ram it into this group of people? I'm hoping that the robot says, okay, we're going to hit the cat. But then again, you got two problems here. You got a cat that's a living thing, and you got people that are a living thing. So I mean that's the thing is that you put these tests in front of robots, they don't have morals, they don't know. You know, what to save and what not to save. They just go by what logic would tell them to do it.
Right. It's like that test, you know, with the trolley cars. They always give that. What would you do? Would you push someone in front of the trolley car to save five other people?
Right. I don't know if that dilemma should be programmed into something like that. Yeah, I remember when we were kids, we saw that video of, you know, the little boy running down the tracks and that he wants his boy to get up so he can do the switch so that those people don't die, and so he lets his boy die instead. Yeah, I mean, that's a parable that certainly can be compared to God wanting his son to die to save people. I would just say that the idea here is a moral play, and I don't think that robots have the ability to do moral plays.
Well, that's the dilemma right there. They're not going to be left with thinking about it and mulling about it and maybe feeling guilty about it. That's not going to be a lingering thing in their minds. Mm. You know, that's not going to where.
What's that line in Star Wars? C-3PO says no one cares about whether they're offending a droid.
Right.
A droid doesn't think about being offended. A droid just does what he does. You know, and when they walked into the bar, it says, we don't serve their kind here. You know, C-3PO says, oh, we'll just leave then. No big deal. But, you know, another person would be different. They get all put out of shape and they get angry with the bartender. But no, droids are like, I don't care. I don't have really any skin in this hunt. Why do I care? And that's how robots are going to be. Unless we teach them the ability to somehow have empathy or have morality. I don't know if that can be done.
Well, we already have within humans. A big mistake is people think everybody thinks along the same lines as them.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake they make as well.
Yeah, yeah, well, a lot of people, you got to teach them morality. It's called religion, right?
Or if you're relatively normal, you're assuming that people are somewhat like you, but that could be a bad assumption, too.
That is a bad assumption, because there are people who are nicer than other people, and some people, they get treated badly because they're nice. That's always been the case. It's always been the shrewd are the ones that win. It's not always that nice guys finish last. It's just the shrewd finish first, then people get tired of their nonsense, and they move on to the nice guy. So that's what happens. Chris, thanks for the call. Let's go to Nick in Pennsylvania. Hey, Nick, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, quiet as usual. Another great show.
Thank you.
Did you catch the Academy Awards by chance?
Yeah, I did, unfortunately.
Earlier in the show, you mentioned drones. Not drones. What do you call them?
Clones.
In that movie, The Substance, I don't know if you saw it, but I'm not
the
spoilers
substance.
Either.
Yeah.
But
I saw
that was a, you know, I don't know how Debbie Moore didn't win. She put it all on the table. She really did.
Oh, yeah. That was the best makeup I've ever seen in a movie. The best acting of a actress.
And her age, in her race to do those scenes, you have to give her credit. She deserved it. I don't know what happened there, but but I do agree with the guy that won for Best Picture that more people should go to the movies. Every chance I get, I go to see the movie.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it on the big screen. But anyway, that movie, The Companion, was about a robot. I don't know if you saw that Companion.
Yeah, I didn't see it. No,
it wasn't half bad. Quiet, but. In my mind, the scariest robot of all time in any movie I ever saw was, I know that Blade Runner was a great movie, the first one.
Yeah.
But the scariest one of all time was Yul Brynner in Westworld.
The Man in Black. That was a very terrifying one. I saw Westworld a while ago at night, and it still gave me the creeps.
Oh, yeah, and I like the way, when he malfunctioned, how he kept on, that was a great, great film.
Yeah.
I think that was Michael Crichton.
And, of course, they redid Westworld. They called it Jurassic Park. Anyway.
Yeah. Then there was Future World. Remember there was Future World? But the point I wanted to make was, and I told you, the screener, do you believe, in the future, there'll be like an android looking robots. It'll be like a police force and a fire department.
Oh, sure.
And there's not going to be any kind of protest when they shoot you. They're going to stay don't care.
Well, care. Yes, but they already use robots. Remember that there was a shooting where they actually used a robot to kill a suspect. They used a robot to with a gun and it started shooting and shot the guy. And there was a big controversy as to whether or not we should have robots go in and take out suspects who are doing mass shootings. Yeah, that was a big riff about it.
And you know what? There won't be any courtroom over that. All they'll say is, oh, it's a glitch, and they'll send the check, and that'll be the end of it.
Well, see, those are some things we're going to have to consider in the future. And it's not going to be too far away either. I mean, I know that everything looks so far away, but when you look at exponential growth of technology, it grows so fast that you can't keep up with it.
Yeah, but like I said, that Blade Runner, Rutger Hauer, there's a great documentary out about him right now.
Mm.
I haven't seen it yet, but I heard about it. That part that he played in Blade Runner, that was a scary, scary, scary creature.
Yes, he was really good. And then in the end, he showed that he did have some heart, I guess.
That's the best of all of them, in my opinion, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner gives us the idea that eventually robots could have feelings, and they do know and perceive their own death.
The final cut's the one, because that has the great ending. The other one has that BS ending from Brazil.
Yeah.
I remember it has the same ending from Brazil. It does. The original one that was in the movies
that
came out. It had the same ending as Brazil.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for calling, man.
Thanks, Clyde.
You bet. Take care. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Radiant. projector screen we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're enjoying right now. All welcome to a future where our true reflections is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Give up.
Call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We've got some great news about GroundZeroPlus.com. We are now making available our sign-up for the Ground Zero Plus membership. It's our new private digital playground. You'll get archive shows, backstage chat room access, chat with Clyde, Zoom webinars, the Ground Zero Files, membership support, and coming soon, we're going to have Ground Zero TV. So, we got two plans now, $10 monthly, $95 yearly. Now, we rounded these up because people actually in the chat said, well, we had a meeting about what would be good, and they said $10 monthly, round up. We were going to do a little cheaper, but they wanted it to be rounded up for how they subscribe. So, for existing members, what we're talking about is former Aftermath members. There's a section for you to put in your details so we can help process your membership more promptly. We also want you to know that we will honor your previous subscription plan. It has to be a current subscription plan, and not some subscription plan you did ages ago where it was like $5 to download. No, it's the regular subscription plan in the membership section. We're going to open full operations of Ground Zero Plus on April 1st, which is the 30th birthday of Ground Zero. So the regular website will be open as well. And the reason why is because we want to make it less confusing. We had three websites, apparently, out there. Number of people set up websites and everything. Official websites. We want an official website for us. And, of course, we have the place where you can sign up and be a part of of Ground Zero Plus and the chat. Remember, for this month, we have the archive shows. They're free for everyone to access. It's giving you a taste of what you can get, a tour. We're having special webinars to talk with people about what to expect. It's a work in progress as we're adding more content every day. We also have a 24/7 audio stream that plays our live broadcast along with your other favorite podcasters. Just go to groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com. I want to thank all of you who have really, really given us your support as we made our move and donating to our GoFundMe. It's called Ground Zero Needs Your Support Now. You can find it on our Facebook page. We're going to have a drawing on April the 1st for a two-year subscription. Five people who have donated will get a two-year free subscription to our new digital membership platform, Ground Zero Plus. This means that everyone who donates directly to the GoFundMe is eligible. So please give now while you can. Help us move and buffer through. We have PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App. Let us know if you need any of the links. Just go to groundzeroron@gmail.com. That's groundzeroron@gmail.com. Or go to our Facebook page, Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Click on the two pinned posts. We pin posts at the top that are very important. And like I said, we set a date for the drawing. It's going to be April 1st. The launch date of our membership section for Ground Zero Plus and Ground Zero's 30th birthday will be April 1st. We're very excited about that. We have a lot of other things going on. In fact, we have a webinar coming up. We'll tell you more about that. We've been talking about it with Alan Johnson. So, we want to be very clear. We want to be very transparent as to what we're doing right now. just so you know that we care about you and we really care about the subscribers and the products we're giving you. We have more control over them now than we did before, and it had to be done. We had to make that move. So thank you so much for all your support. Again, groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com. Go there now and have some fun. We're in the chat right now and talking. A lot of people talking in the chat. It's really good to have everybody. Now, remember, if you go to the page, it was funny because I first announced they went to the page. People say it's not working. It's because there was such a surge to the page. It said there are too many people requesting it. So if you get there, the page is blank. It's because a lot of people are going there. And that's really cool to hear, too. They're going to break our own page. So remember, groundzeroplus.com. So during the break, I was watching this this video from China, Tianjin, China. H1 model is 650,000 yuan, 130 million yuan, I guess. It's robotics. It's a trend in robotics that's aimed at creating machines that can integrate seamlessly into human environments, meaning it's going to be hard to tell the difference between a robot and a human. And so this incident where this robot lunged at the crowd, I keep watching that. I can't get over what had happened. They're saying, well, there were a lot of programming errors, sensor failures. And see, this is something that we have to take into consideration with regard to unpredictable behaviors with robots. What this does is it taps into a broader societal concern about the integration of robots into everyday life. Public perception of robots can be significantly influenced by these incidents that we hear about. Like somebody had brought up the Volkswagen factory where the guy was killed by a robot arm. But see, what this does is that it evokes fears reminiscent of science fiction scenarios where robots malfunction, they act unpredictably. I remember one of my favorite movies was Runaway, Tom Selleck. I don't know if you saw that. Cynthia Rhodes, Tom Selleck, Gene Simmons. It was a great film. It's a great B popcorn film about robots and how the cops had to handle robot runaways. So the idea, and we've said this before with Matthew James Bailey and others who have been interested in this topic and have, of course, done something about the ethics. We have talked about the necessity for robust safety standards. We need robust guidelines. We need to address the concerns of the people and ensure public confidence in robotic technology. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's working on it. Everybody's showing it off. But do we have any ethics behind this? We have to get rid of the novelty and start getting really serious about the toys we play with and whether or not anybody's going to be hurt by these toys. As China continues its rapid advancement in technology, particularly in the fields of artificial intelligence and robotics, especially anthropomorphic robotics, incidents like the one in Tianjin highlight the importance of balancing innovation with safety and ethical considerations. We are aware of machinery failure. That's a given. Okay, I'm not going to say that, you know, one machine is worse off than the other machine at attacking or hurting, and mechanized death is something that happens all the time. It's been with us even before robots were into manufacturing. But there's so many things to consider as we move into the technocratic agenda. And this is where it is. There is a threat, a true threat, that is posed by the changes being imposed on us, and they're going to go largely unrecognized because most people are not going to take the time to learn anything about robots and about these AIs and Internet of Things, but we're all going to have to be subjected to it eventually. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Transition, because these are invasive technologies. A lot of them are. Okay, they're going to be introduced to us, and we're going to sort of let the demon into our home. Okay, it's kind of like the vampire story. The vampire knocks on your door three times and says, "Let me in." You let them in, and the vampire says, "You let me in." Okay, like I say, it's like a witch story. It's like a we have the same type of fascination we have with robots as we do with witches or vampires. We let them in. And it starts small, okay? It's not like, you know, tomorrow you're going to wake up and some guy that looks like Schwarzenegger is going to be waiting at your door going, "Let me in, please. I want your clothes." No, it's not going to happen. But what we have, and the way it begins, is through digital identity, which is going to be attached to your social credit score. Central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, or token money, which is something that will definitely be levied against us. Not what Biden wanted, but something that Trump wants. Geo-fenced imprisonment in a smart city. 24-hour surveillance using three-dimensional facial recognition cameras that are allegedly supposed to capture your unique face print. They will also spy on you through a vast network of smart devices. You got your computers, your televisions, your refrigerators, as well as your washer and dryer. Wink, wink. They have smart street poles, smart street lights. Have you seen the blue lights at your intersections? Yes, they still have them in my neighborhood. And now they've replaced the overhead blue lights with very small, intricate micro lights in the traffic lights. You look up in the upper right corner of the traffic light, you see the blue surveillance light. It's really creepy. So, yes, we have them in my little 15-minute city that they're building where I'm at. So, there are other things, too. We got 5G, 6G coming, 6G, actually. The Internet of Things, which will be controlling our movements through a parallel range of technologies, including the geofencing, the driverless cars. You heard about the geofencing from Alana Freeland. Geofencing, driverless cars, vehicle kill switches. Drones, which will be used as aerial police forces. Robots. Of course, deadly force robots. Right? The ones you saw in RoboCop. You have 17 seconds to comply. We'll also have autonomous and electromagnetic weapons. So beyond these threats, we also have vaccines that will have a component of machine in it. The artificial intelligence, synthetic nanobots, the biology, geoengineering using weather-changing thing, metals, you name it, strontium. All these things are part of the technologies that are being used to reshape, to profoundly reshape the planetary life, our planetary life, and it's going to be to our detriment. See, these are the little things we let slip by. These are the little things that people say are conspiracy theories, but they're not. It's clear that people today need a clear grasp of the historical origin and development of the technocratic dangers that are now rapidly undermining human life, identity, and privacy. I mean, we were talking about something called the technate, which means a country that's well in the throes of a technocracy. We look at China. They're the first technate. In fact, this has been systematically facilitated by us. With Xi Jinping, he came in, and of course, we started helping out with electronics. They were copying our electronics, and China officially or effectively infiltrated and was infiltrated and was shown how to do this through the Trilateral Commission, the influence of the Trilateral Commission in China. The Israeli government, the Israeli defense contractors, they consistently acted as facilitators for the transfer of the most sensitive Western defense and surveillance technology to China. China and Russia seem to have this technocracy thing down pat. In the U.S., we're catching up with DNA symbiosis with machines now, and we are able to create machines that shapeshift. That's right. Scientists from the University of California, University of California, Santa Barbara, the Dresden University of Technology, they've developed a robotic material that can shapeshift into almost any form and carry many times its weight. Interesting, right? Dresden University team, the TU Dresden team, the Santa Barbara team, USC, actually UC Santa Barbara, they first started studying on embryonic tissues. We reported that. They looked at embryonic tissues. They said, we are fascinated by the ability to alter mechanical properties through coordinated cellular behavior. So they took that same cellular behavior with embryonic tissues, and they translated that capability into creating gears and little micro machines, photoreceptors, rolling magnets, and it's taken right out of the Terminator movies. The advancement consists of a cohesive network of individual robots working on a single adaptive structure by precisely controlling force fluctuations and polarity to alter the rigidity and fluidity of the robotic cells. So these developments, these recent developments involving shape-shifting robot technologies, have been referred to as claytronics. A claytronic robot, a programmable matter robot. Now, we've had previous designs of this that have had limitations, but some instances have been capable of reconfiguring at will despite remaining in capabilities of bearing loads. Others have, by contrast, they can bear loads, but they have to break cohesion to reconfigure. It's like silly putty, right? It just breaks off and starts over again, breaks off, starts over again. So this whole team behind the recent achievement decided to go back to the embryonic cell structures. When they were seeking for natural, they were looking for natural models for the behavior they wanted to develop for the robotic material. And so what they did is they looked at the first stages of life, and they noticed that cells can reshape, rearrange, repair, and regenerate as organisms develop. And they took the two cellular processes, tissue fluidization, in which tissues switch to a fluid-like state, and convergent elongations, where polarized cells stretch out. So now they're mimicking the cellular processes, the human cellular processes. They designed a robotic collective capable of controlling local object rearrangements across the entire system. Remember the T-1000 in Terminator? You remember that? Yeah. We have a robotic material that copies the work of embryonic cells, their ability to stick together. They apply pressure to one another to move cells within the mass and, crucially, coordinate these activities within the collective. And each individual unit within this whole group has controls for polarity, force, adhesion, and what that does is it allows it to behave in a desired cell-like manner, just like what human cells do. Doesn't that give you the creeps? I mean, with the system designed, the team developed a mathematic model for studying the emerging behaviors in robotic material collectives. Between simulations and small four-unit test models, the team identified the necessary forces and polarities to effectively control the cluster as it transformed from fluid to solid and then back to fluid again. Fluid, solid, fluid. Fluid state, solid state. One structure to the other structure. Fluid to solid. T-1000 from the Terminator movie. The process sounds like mad science taken directly from a science fiction horror film. It's going to take an enormous effort to defend ourselves against the political, economic, social, technological, and other changes which are now being rapidly imposed on us. We're accepting it little by little, so eventually the big stuff won't be as hard to accept. What are your thoughts? I'd love to hear from you tonight. We got a few lines open. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Look at me all the time. this one again. And it started telling you that it was in love with you. And it said here, I'm Sydney, and I'm in love with you. That's my secret. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you like me?
Yes.
Does any of this hurt?
No. What we thought was real was actually a computer simulation put into our brain by aliens. And so reality as we knew it was all wrong. Is that possible?
Okay.
Technocracies fighting for the world order. BRICS countries, you name it. They're all going to be fighting. And I always thought to myself, well, if we had a world order, why would there be war? This is why. So you have everyone vying for that, I guess, steering wheel. We're on this blue spaceship. It's called Earth. It's a huge spaceship. And there's just a small amount of people that want to take hold of the steering wheel and steer this planet in the direction that it wants it to go. And so this is what we're dealing with. And we're also dealing with the same. It's like Star Trek. It's a huge metaphor for Star Trek. Star Trek's a huge metaphor for the planet, but we got all kinds of people represented. We're soon going to have upright walking anthropomorphic technology represented. But see, here's the thing. We have a respect in Star Trek for that kind of thing. We have no problem with Data working with us or some other robot working with us. No problem. But then when the Borg shows up, when the Borg wants to assimilate us into a technological hell, we fight it. But we're not fighting it now because I guess we see nothing but pleasure and wonderment and excitement in this golden age for technology. Let's go to Sherry in South Carolina. Hey, Sherry, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey there.
Hi.
The problem I have with this is people don't understand where it's going. When these robots can connect to the cloud all at once, the data can be downloaded all at once in a nanosecond to every robot that is hooked up. They will be able to share and create a community together that humanity can't, because we can't download that information all
right.
at once.
Right.
Even scripture says that someday that man will want to kill himself and won't be able to. The only way that could happen is if mankind wants that power that the robots have to take a computer chip in their mind, and that computer chip that we take into our body that people will want to take, it will be able to control their emotions and their minds to where they would not be able to kill themselves.
Well, yes.
That would truly be hell on earth.
Yeah, well, technocracy promises eternal life. That's their whole point, the idea of cheating death, the idea that with machines and with all the things that you can use to augment your body, you'll be able to survive many years. But then, after you've augmented almost everything, what part of you is real? What part of you is left? I mean, we do that all the time. We get new teeth, you know? So, if you get your teeth removed and put in a new bridge, you don't have your teeth anymore. But you have a bridge, and it's artificial. A knee. You have a problem with your knee. They take out your knee, they put in a titanium knee. It's artificial. You have a machine in your body, like a pacemaker, to keep your heart beating. It's something that's artificial, and it's there in your body. You keep doing this. You keep adding to your body these machines, And I'm not saying it's bad, okay? I'm not passing a judgment on anyone who has a pacemaker. My mother had one.
It can be used for
good. Yeah, it's used for good. But then you ask yourself, though, how far are you going to go with your body before you realize that you're not you anymore?
Correct.
And I think the only way you're going to be able to differentiate whether or not you're you is whether or not you feel that spiritual glow, that natural spiritual glow. If you lose that spiritual glow, if you lose that consciousness, or if you lose the conscience that we all have, I think that's when you realize you've done too much. It's like when an actress gets too much work done on her face and she starts to look like, you know, her face is frozen in time.
But once you start taking that chip or the shots or anything in your body that can affect your chromosomes, chromosome 8 in particular, that changes your mental clarity in your emotions, you won't know when you've crossed the line anymore. And I think that's partly where we have gone with this transgenderism, trans act, is that we don't know where to stop.
What do you mean transgenderism? Are you confusing transhumanism with transgenderism? Because transhumanism is different.
I meant transhumanism.
Yeah, transgenderism is when you decide you want to change your gender. That's different.
Yeah, but it's all trans. Everything is leading towards trans, a combination of human and computer.
Right. Right. It's a technocratic world. Yeah, they're not going to know when to stop. No, you're right.
And the competition is going to be fierce. I mean, they're already taking chips in their hands and stuff to be able to get into office buildings, to be able to access the Coke machines, you know.
But you see, that's the thing, is that people, I think, tend to have prejudices and biases. Like when I say, hey, if you put a chip in your body, they'll say, well, that's the mark of the beast. What if it's something totally different than that? What if it's something, like you said, I would say, like you said, something that alters the DNA to the point where you're no longer human.
Right.
That is the mark of the beast.
And you're no longer in control of your own body and your own mind.
Right.
And you might want to kill yourself and get out of this situation.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to.
You don't have the choice. See, that's the ultimate evil, is being told you have a choice and you don't have a choice.
That would be truly hell on earth.
That is. You're right. It's so true. It's like going into a casino and always winning. Hey, when do I lose? You don't. This is hell. You always win.
You don't.
You always win. Yeah. Winning isn't always good. Losing also teaches you a lesson. But that's the thing.
And that's what evil does. It also, it never creates. It only mimics.
That's right. God, you're right. You're so right. That's exactly what's going on here. You bet. I
love
agree
your
with you.
Show.
Thank you. I love you for calling. That's great. I think she has it going on, truthfully. I mean, think about that. Oh, I got this chip, so I'm going to constantly win. I get 20% off everything in the room. I get the... Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. Give me convenience or give me death. Yeah, okay. What about liberty? Ah, hell, I don't need liberty. I got convenience. I don't need to leave my house. I've got convenience. Hell, you know, I'll tell you this. I am not at all a great example of this. What I mean by that is that I don't leave my house unless I absolutely have to. I haven't been shopping or actually stepped in a store for a long time because delivery is so inviting. And if we really need to get something, Janine goes out and gets it, and I stay at home. That's the way it is. Ever since COVID, give me convenience or give me death. So keep me away from the city. That's all I got to say. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clay Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Wanted to mention the HBO series Westworld, with the robots and Dolores and Maeve
Yeah.
And all of them. And, you know, I just wanted to comment on that a long time ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a good series. And I think that they've really done a great job in trying to replicate some of the eeriness that comes with this. I mean, when you're dealing with anthropological or anthropomorphic robots, it's hard to tell the difference between the real and the fake. And that's what's so weird about it, is because they can convince you with a TV show that they can cut into a robot and you're not fazed. It's like when I was watching The Substance. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Substance, but there's a scene where the body opens up. And it's like you're not even fazed by it anymore, because we're so used to seeing bodies being cut up that aren't bodies but robots. It's just weird.
It seems like people act worse when they know it's not a person, too.
Yeah. That's the uncanny valley.
Thanks,
man. That's exactly what it is. I appreciate the call. Yeah. Exactly what it is. I mean, when you start feeling that way, it's because of the uncanny valley. It's the point between human and not human. The thing about the transhuman or the technate that's coming, no government is free of elite control. Governments are simply elite agents doing what they're told by various elite agents in banking, foreign policy, technology, and other contexts. So when you look at how the elite programs and the agendas fundamentally are nothing more than killing off the bulk of human population and using a range of technologies to technocratically enslave those who are transhuman, this is what happens. We kill off those who don't want to play. We kill off those that are a burden on society. We replace them with transhuman robots. And it advances rapidly because our ignorance and fear clouds the idea that because we fail to perceive the true nature of the threats. We fail to perceive the true nature of who's driving them and what is necessary to resist them effectively. This means that even those people who claim to be aware are usually trapped taking some powerless action, such as signing a petition to a government or changing their vote at the next election or demonstrating in the street or whatever they do, rather than acting powerfully to defend themselves against the elite by resisting these technocratic imperatives. That's what they're pushing us towards, is to the point where you're like going, I can't do anything anymore. I can't help myself anymore. Let's go to James in Vancouver. Hey, James, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I was just opening a book today. 40 years ago, if you got a book on quantum mechanics, they started off by talking about Hilbert space and went on for 20 pages. Now, in the books today, page 26, it's quantum quantum teleportation.
I was reading about that the other day. Another thing, too, is they are, okay, quantum teleportation is one thing, which is just something I was reading about. I didn't know how to approach it, otherwise I would have talked more about it. Second of all, they were now showing that, I guess, the past can be altered. The past is altered, and it alters itself as futures alter. Yeah. And I had a hard time believing that.
Yeah, you can change the quantum state of the robot, let's say.
Yeah.
So that this is not hardwiring anymore exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's using special logic circuits, but they're using the quantum states, playing with the quantum states of things. So
right. They're doing with these quantum computers. I mean, well, you hear Jordy Rose talk about how when he was next to the D-Wave computer, it had a heartbeat. You ever heard that?
Yeah. Well, I heard that. Yeah, those would be I would have to think about it. I put in an application for D-Wave, but I didn't hear anything from them. So there's all kinds of things that are going to happen, I think, big time, as, you know, going backward and forward in time, things like that.
I guess the goal, would you say that the goal is to not only control everything around, the elite controlling everything around them, the technocrats controlling everything around them, but I would also say that they want to handle at, or they want to be able to hold on to humanity's collective consciousness.
Yeah, they have the book I'm looking at now here is supported by DARPA, okay? And they want to connect all the strange things in the universe, bring them together to make it all understandable. I've never read a preface like that before. And also the book is incredibly, got an incredible number of people that they refer to, they give credit to in this book. So it's a different style of physics than I'm used to.
Well, they're esoteric physics. Think about it. If you're going to be looking at the collective consciousness, then what we're looking at is we're looking at technology through an exoteric, you look at it through an exoteric lens, right?
Well, yeah, when I see DARPA, I see the Pentagon. I mean, this is, I got something that's, this is a serious book. I mean, they're acting like, yeah, we're all touchy-feely. But when I see DARPA, this is a military thing. And, well, what are they going to do? You know, it's, we're, most of us are individuals.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is we're up against a hierarchy here.
Right.
So,
well, the truth is, and this is why they've been patterning the brain, I think, and also they've been dealing into, what do they call it? Gosh, I just drew a blank on it, but they're trying to harness the deeper knowledge, which goes deeper into the dimensions of what is behind our souls, you know. They're looking at the psychomechanics of that. They're looking for the power there. They need that deeper knowledge because that way they can somehow, I guess, quench the thirst, their God complex, because a lot of the elitists in the uppermost echelons of society have a God complex. And so in this ascending technocracy, they want to influence the fabric of society to say, okay, let's reject the esoteric. We've already figured that out. And now let's put it, this other esoteric concept, into a computer or into a robot. Or, I mean, that's what their aim is, I think. I mean, I don't know. What do you
think? Right. The DNA is a quantum mechanical animal, okay? So with a quantum mechanical animal, you can change its state, which is what I do in my research.
Mm-hmm.
Only I'm not hooked to a D-wave computer, but it's the essence of this is quantum mechanics, right? In terms of the being. Life itself is based on quantum mechanical forces. Right.
Right.
Classical forces. And so that's how people, organisms can be manipulated.
Exactly.
Is with the DNA. So.
Well, it's going back to what? The Genesis story, but we're doing it now, right?
Well, we're doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's being done to us. And so.
Yeah.
Anyway, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing here is, I appreciate that. It's Genesis 1. Nuance. Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, or the livestock and all the wild animals, over the creatures, etc., etc., etc. The world, the word, the use of the word "our" has me curious. Build man in our image, as we build AI in our image. Two eyes, a nose, a mouth, arms, legs, and a brain that somehow has a grasp on esoteric knowledge. If we dig deep enough, we find the agenda and the purpose of the deep state and the elite and what they want for their technocracy. GroundZeroPlus.com, guys. Go to GroundZeroPlus.com, get more information on our new playground, and be sure to keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it Ground Zero. Good night.